heavy snow to northern Idaho and light snow to the Rockies with showers in the plateau. The temperature map for this afternoon shows readings staying near or below zero in the north central border area with freezing weather from New England to the Rockies. The lower half of the map will be above normal with 40s, 50s, and 60s. 70s are due.
Give me the day before yesterday.
You rather have juice than coffee?
No. Give it to him. No, I don't want any. Day before yesterday, Watertown, New York was the coldest place in the country, 30 below zero.
How far is that from you?
Well, about 60 miles.
30 below.
But you see, no, I don't care for it. But you see up there, Lake Ontario comes around, you know, it's kind of oblong, comes around like this. The water down is right in here, so it comes right off in that lake.
Yeah. Have you ever been up there when it was close to that?
Not so close. I went up through there, let's see, in 37. The 1st of January in 37, I went up through there, and it was kind of thawed, you know, and the icicles hung down off in the roof, and the wind had blowed, and them icicles come down like that and hung right straight around like that, and it'd come right back in under and hit against the house.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, as
wind,
it froze, the wind
yeah.
had blowed, you know, and it just
yeah.
it kept freezing right around under there.
We had plenty of icicles last week, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I had them right in the pipes.
You did?
Jesus. I'm down there to McIntosh, that Mrs. Reeves, and up in, from the ground up into her kitchen sink, the pipe was froze. I cut it in two and took it out, and then I drummed it, you know, and the icicles would come running along out.
Oh, really?
Filled right up the pipes.
Yeah.
You just have to replace some of the pipes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Down to Hargett's, trailers down there, there was three trailers that the water pipes was all froze up and busted down.
Yeah. Well, it looks like the trailers would be simple to keep the pipes open, Mr. Eastman. Just, you know, you got all the pipes right there together. All you got to do is keep them running.
Well, yeah, if they kept them running, it'd probably have been all right. But, you know, the pipes on them trailers go right straight through between the floors. You see, there's a double floor on them pipes, you know. There's one floor right on the top of your framework. And then they have it.
And,
well, you know, when they have these sales, now that stuff that they sell on these sales, they don't give anybody anything. They make a good profit on it when they sell it on the sales.
Yeah.
So see what the profit is when they sell it at full price.
Yeah. That's right. They don't give it away on the sale.
No.
I guess we might as well disband, but I hate to start moving. These mornings, I don't know. I seem like I get later and later. Let me tell you,
well, I don't know.
Just before you drove up, Faye looked through the window and said, "There's a hog." And I looked out there, and there was a great big young boar. Just heading away there. He's just investigating.
Why didn't you catch it?
Well, I tried to. let me tell you.
Had some fresh bacon.
Yeah, keep your seat. I'll be right back.
I'd go out there and hit it out the lane. And it had already been under the fence out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was afraid of going to get in that field. So I came on under. But he come on back. And I followed him right out to there. And I started hollering at him, you see. And you know what he done? He stopped and looked at me. And I walked on up just like nothing had happened. And he come on out there to meet me.
He did?
Yes, sir.
You had something for him to eat.
Yeah. We both stopped, and you know, the way they put the head up like
that.
They could either be going to eat you or get a hand up. And he was just a pet.
Yeah.
He's just a big pet. And I kind of got him along up here, and I heard this down the end of the lane, and some colored fellow down there with a bucket was calling him.
Yeah.
And he heard him. And he lit out.
Yeah.
Clear down to the end of the lane was that fellow with a bucket. Yeah. Now that's sort of hard to have, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, the year before I was married, my father-in-law had a hog like that, you know, and that hog, why, he'd get out, and my wife was a little girl there, you know, and she'd take and play with that doggone hog and one thing and another around there, and if somebody started and walked up into the woods and like that, you know, that hog would smell their tracks just like a dog.
Oh.
And he'd follow them around like that, you know, and you know, early winter, and they killed that hog, and there wouldn't nobody eat it. By gee, they turned around and give the meat away.
Yeah.
By gee, they just said that they just couldn't eat that pork.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't eat it.
Yeah.
They just said that they just couldn't eat that pork. And they give it away.
Yeah.
They had a neighbor up there, you know, when the Ku Klux Klan was in its prime and glory there, around, let's see, must have been 1924. And they was having, it was big doings up there, the Ku Klux Klan. And there was this Irishman that married an English girl, and her brother was one of the head ones of the Ku Klux up in that county there. And this Irishman had four darn nice hogs. Well, sir, one morning he went out, and they was in the hog house, out a whole little ways from the buildings there. One morning the hired man went up to feed him, you know, and he come back down and he says, "Bill," he says, "what's them K's on them hogs for?" Old Bill went up, each one of them hogs had a great big red, 3 K's right on the side of them. Well, old Bill, he was pretty mad. He'd give $100 if he could find out who done that. Well, you know, when it come butchering time, they butchered them hogs and sold them all. They wouldn't eat them with the KK on them. He took and sold them, turned around, bought some back for his own use.
Now, let me get that straight. Now, he was the big shot in the Klan?
No, his brother-in-law was.
His brother-in-law was.
Yeah, this Irishman there, he...
Yeah.
He was awfully against the KKKs, you know, but his wife's brother, see, was one of the big shots in there.
So they just slipped over there and put that on.
I know I lived up on the farm up there. I lived the same as here, and you come along this road over here, and here was the road and went down to town. Come along, I lived here, and another fellow lived here, and this Irishman lived here. Well, then there was another farm on the corner, on this corner, and on the other corner, here was another farm. Well, then the brother-in-law lived over here. Well, we was building a new telephone line up there, and the brother-in-law says to me, says, how would you like to go to a Ku Klux Klan meeting tonight? Well, I said, golly, I said, I don't believe I'd better try to drive because my car, the tires ain't too good on it. And I said, I don't want to chase off somewhere and get a flat tire. Well, he says, you come downtown. He lived. He rented this farm up here, see? And he lived downtown. So, geez, I drove downtown. And we got in his truck. And we went and we come over to this next village. And then we come back up to the corner here. He said, you see them lanterns on the corner? And I said, yeah. Well, he said, there's a signal for you to turn. So we come up here, and we come up here, and we turn, and come over here, and here with another lantern set right on, right out in front of his place there. And then we went in there, and up back of the barn, there was a lot up there that had, I don't know, 20, 25 acres in it. And do you know when that meeting got ready to go? Why, that lot was just covered with people. There must have been 2,000-3,000 people there.
Yeah.
To that big Ku Klux meeting.
Yeah.
And here I'd gone, turned down around here and turned around there and come right back up here, and she was in about a mile home.
Yes, sir. Well, now that, I didn't realize the Ku Klux was that strong.
Oh, gee, they was awful strong up in there. Yeah, and they took in around 300 new members that night up there. Yeah, and this fellow, he thought he had me hooked to join. Well, I didn't join.
You never joined?
No.
Never joined.
Boy, they was really hot up around in there.
Well, now, when they're really hot like that, it makes it hard on people who don't join.
Yeah, I know that.
I guess I thought they didn't function anywhere outside the South.
Oh, yes. Oh, they was big doings up in there.
Yeah.
And they had a big cross that they burned up there that night. And that was a big maple tree. And I bet you that the bottom of it was about that big around. And it went way up in the air and then had a cross on it, you know, and had two big bolts through this cross arm up there.
Yeah.
And then that was all wound with bags. 3-4 thicknesses thick with bags, you know, on there and wired on with hay wire. And then they saturated that with old oil and gasoline and touched a match to it.
And you saw that? I never saw one.
Didn't you? Yeah, that's the way they put them on.
Well, that was something to see, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah. All I've ever seen was in the movies, on television.
And I had a laugh. There was a fellow who lived just up bend there. And he see that there was something going on down there, so he slides down through the lots from his place down there, and right on the upper side of that lot, there was some woods there. And he stayed right there in the woods and watching it, you know.
Yeah.
And it run along a couple of weeks after that, and he was telling me all about that meeting there one day, and geez, there I was there to it.
Yeah.
It had to be sort of secret?
Huh?
Had to be secret?
Oh, it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
mm-hmm.
Well?
Yeah, they told me that the people knew that there was going to be a meeting there just west of Stockbridge that night, but they didn't know where. See, and that's what them lanterns was on the corners for, see?
Oh.
They come and they see that lantern sitting on the corner, and then they take them turns and follow that road.
Oh.
That's what they had the lanterns for. See, they come there, gosh, from I don't know how far, quite a ways away. See, a lot of them come in there to that meeting.
Well, now, they had something that egged them on to do all that.
Well, I don't just know what was edging on there. They used to like to get in there, you know, they was against the Catholics.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
boy, they'd get around. Over in Knoxboro, there was a big Catholic over there, and he was way up in the church. Well, they didn't know that he was going to go away, but they rented a chunk of land right close to him there, see?
Yeah.
For a meeting there in the cross burning.
Yeah.
Well, it happened that he was a manager of a big cannon factory. And he had been called away on some business somewhere, and they didn't know it, you know, and they had that meeting up there, and well, I scared his wife and the kids. They said the kids would hang on to the wall. Mama, will they burn our house? No, gee, they had an awful time with them kids, they said.
Yeah.
But that's what they like to do, you know. They like to ridicule and kind of scare the Catholics what they could. That's what they done up there, anyway. I don't know what they done someplace else. But I guess that down in the south here, they were doing that same way against the colored people.
Yeah. Yes. Except you'd hear from them a little bit more.
Yeah. But I guess they had the colored people pretty well scared down here.
Miss Eastman, they tell, now I don't have the information on this, but they've tried to resurrect the Ku Klux over here at Meganope the last few years, you know. They've tried that a time or two, and they've had the big Ku Klux people come in and try to help them. But see, they can't do it now. You've got too much of the federal government, for one thing. They all
Well, I guess they kind of fizzled out up north there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I guess about the only place that they're really right down active is in North and South Carolina.
Yeah.
What did you take? Let's see. Was that fellow from Florida or where was he from? No, I guess he was from South Carolina, the fellow that's just got out of prison.
Yeah, where is he from?
I think he's from South Carolina someplace that just got out that they had.
Did he come out cussing?
Well, he wouldn't... let them check the books.
Yeah. But he didn't come out repenting. He came out ready for more.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's one of them I saw. That's on the television.
Yeah.
I don't know it, so. This evening, you've seen so many things, you ought to be able to write a lot of articles for the old Cali paper or any other than you want. What did you tell them about on that one that you...
I'll bring that up and let you read it.
Well, you didn't bring it.
Well, I forgot it this morning. I thought some of bringing it up.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know, I can't imagine what in the devil I got into those red this morning. I stopped down in McIntosh and left that pipe down there and that tea.
Yeah.
Bob Wood sat over there in the office, you know. Bob wanted to know if there's something that I wanted this morning. I said I wanted to get a half a dozen sacks of cement if you'll help me load it. He said, I'm not going to do it. I said, I can't do it. He said,
well, Mr. Eastman,
you're gonna put your mind on this door now, too.
Well, need just a minute to get your breath. I had that
yeah.
poured out for you.
You did?
Yes, sit down there. Golly
Bill. Miss Eaton, what could that be? You see, all I have to do is go out there and tap it and it'll cut off.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of them switches, you know, they're put together in piecework.
Yes, chair, right here.
Yeah.
And sometimes a little bit of a little burr on it there, like, you know, and until that gets wore off, well, then they catch a little bit, but it seems though that's worked enough, so it ought to be all right.
Well, now, last night it kept running. And I'll tell you what I did. I cut it on and off there at the switch a time or two, and then it quit. But it took me two or three times to do that.
Well, I can let up a little on the pressure on it. Out there, and that'll make the other pump run a little bit more.
Yeah. What do you think happened there, Mr. Eastman? I might have to do that myself sometime. Right there at the joint where it bows a little.
What do you mean, on the outside there?
Yeah, you were talking about it.
Yeah, well, it'll be that little bother.
Oh, no, it won't bother anything. Well, now, what happens when you do that? What makes you, how you happen to do that?
Well, those tile.
Yeah.
There aren't all of them straight, you know. Seem to got a little bend in them. And sometimes that comes in handy when you're laying sewer tile there, if you want to go around a little stone or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I done the best I could to try to keep them straight.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them places there, that there just... Some of them, when I wanted to straighten them up, you know, I just tip the edge a little bit and stick a nail right in under it here.
Yeah.
Until that cement gets in there and you poke that cement down in there, you see, and it'll get down under the bottom of it, and that'll hold it.
Mm-hmm. And that's let the nail take care of itself.
Yeah.
Now, what was that? Tell Faye about. Tell Faye about what you and your brother was doing that time when you were trying to get Sue.
Oh, he's laying up the chimney, you know, and he got. Oh, we had about 3 feet to go on the top. See, one of the outside brick chimneys. And he got the last batch of mortar just a little bit too thin, you know. I was a-squawking about it, and he wasn't paying much of attention. So he kept right on to bringing it, that thin mortar, see. And, gee, the first thing I knew, I went to put my level up there to see how I was coming, and gee, it started to buckle out a little bit, you know. So I went down. I didn't know, maybe I'd have to take it down. See, this old fellow that I was putting it up for was an old carpenter and come over from England, and he was a kind of a particular fellow. And he looked up at it, you know, and he began to laugh. Yeah, you know, a blind man would be awful tickled to see that.
That's all he said. Now, see, Suzanne don't get to, they don't get to, they don't hear good information like that. Mr. Eastman, I didn't quite get, what did, Suzanne, what was that? What did Mr. Eastman ask you about the Bible?
Yeah, like the skull, apple, spear, and... had more than two places to go.
Yeah.
You'll find out, but gee, when you come to pass on.
Come where, Miss Eastman?
When you come to die.
Oh.
The Bible says if you're good, you go to heaven, and if you're wicked, you go to hell.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you there's two more places that you go.
Yeah.
Miss Eastman?
And I know I got knocked cold one time, and they thought I was dead, and they took me to the hospital and one thing and another there, and while I was out, I saw those places.
You did?
And someday people are going to find out more about them.
Those other two places?
Yeah. One of them is a place that don't have anything but lawyers. Hey, you laugh, but I'm going to tell you why. A lawyer won't have anything to do with the common common people very much, unless there's some money involved in it.
Oh, I see.
See?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the Bible says, thou shalt have no other God before me.
Uh-huh.
There's so many people in the world today that money is their God. They don't think no more about God than anything in the world, except for money.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
All right, now you'll see, and when they go, they'll go to this cold place where it's all ice, and them fellows are trying to climb them icy mountains there because they think there's a pot of gold up on top.
Yeah.
And they do everything they can to climb up there, you know, and they'll get almost up there and back there when they come.
Yeah.
Now you just see what I tell you. You may not believe a word of it now, but when you come to die...
And it's lawyers there.
Huh?
Lawyers.
That's a different place.
I see.
That's what this last one is, what they call the pen. And it's just like an old big boar hog that has the handling of that all covered with bristles. The damnedest looking thing that you ever see.
And you saw that?
Yeah. And I wrote a piece to put in the paper. I'll bring it up and let you read it.
Well, you bring that.
Well, you keep forgetting.
And they... They thought I was nuts.
I don't think it.
Well, I'm going to send a copy of that to Billy Graham.
Well, you let me send it. Bring it up here. Let me see.
I showed it to Doc Rutland.
Yeah.
And Doc Rutland said, get that printed by all means. He said that may help somebody.
Yeah.
You go home, and the first thing you do, you put that in your pocket.
Bring it up.
The first thing I do when I get home, I'm going to find something to eat.
Well,
I'll give you so much.
I gotta go and put that motor back in that furnace over there, and then I'll be back over here. Probably take me. Well, I'd probably be here about 2:00.
All right. Who is that?
His name is Corbino. He lives over at Fairfield.
Oh.
I've done quite a little work over there, and he called up this morning. He was crying to beat all. Couldn't get no heat. Well, the furnace runs all right, and I adjusted the burner on it last night. Gee, it was burning red, you know, and you take those gun-type burners, the whiter the flame that you can get, the more air you can make them burn, the hotter the flame is, see?
Yeah.
And when they get to running red, you want to open up down the air and give it some more air. It's just like a carburetor in a car, the more air that you can burn, the better.
Well, now, what about that flame inside that, Mr. Eastman?
Well, that's a little bit of a different outfit than your gun-type burner.
Yeah.
You see, your gun-type burner's got a forced air to it.
Yeah. Well, now, this is just...
This is what they call a pop-type.
What color is it supposed to be?
Well, if it's kind of in a blue, it's hotter, then it'll burn a red, reddish blue.
Well, I didn't see any red and blue in it.
What did you see?
Just red.
Just red. Well, when they're turned up high, when you turn them down low, that's what makes them smoke more.
That's when it's red.
Yeah, when you turn them down low and they run more on a red, that's when they carbon up. But when they're turned up higher, it takes about so much heat to burn up that carbon.
I see.
See, your carbon will create in there no matter what you do. But if it gets heat enough, it'll burn it.
Well, the only place the carbon accumulates in this is right there in that little bowl.
Yeah.
And you can put your hand down there and scrape it out.
Well, it'll get up around the sides here, too. It'll stick on some.
Won't hurt it?
No, won't hurt none.
Ain't nothing in this to hurt, is it?
No.
That's the kind I need. Something where I don't...
Well, thanks for the oranges.
You're going to use the tank, guys? I can run it back. Let me just run it back.
Yes, I'll run it back.
Yeah, because I got to pick up Mandy.
Well, that's Channel 2 right around 700. Channel 2 right around 700. And just before Mr. Eastman went home to lunch this Saturday, the 17, 18, somewhere along there, of January, this Saturday, when Mr. Eastman went home to lunch, he came in. Suzanne was here. Suzanne Fay and me sat on one side of the table. Mr. Eastman said, I changed that roller chair to the straight chair and had a little orange juice. And this is 705, Channel 2 right. Mr. Eastman went home to lunch.
At least she didn't fall off.
Didn't she?
This far. That sassy little old horse.
Throw her off, did you?
Bucked a little bit one time.
Did
she? She was nice today.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get to watch the animals.
No, I was going to ride, but I didn't.
Yeah, stay in here. Do all that sewing, and you don't get to watch those beautiful animals.
Geez, I had one time, and the saddle worked back a little bit on her, and that back girt tickled her, and boy, I'm telling you, she bucked. She stand that on her darn head, you know. I reached around. I had been told, you know, that back girt would do that, and I didn't believe the fellow. I thought he was kidding me.
Yeah.
I stayed on, but boy, I got her quieted down a little bit, and I reached around and I got that undone, and geez, I took it off. Because, you know, that's the way they make them buck, you know. They tie a rope right around next to their back legs and draw it up good and tight.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't
know that. These rodeos, that's the way they make them go.
I don't know what I'd do if the horse's head went down like that. I can manage if they go up on the front seat, you know.
If they rear up.
Yeah, I can manage that. But the other way, that's different.
I'm telling you it's different.
Have you had experience like that, Mr. Eaton?
I had that one buck like that.
Yeah.
I had a time getting her quieted down. After I got her quieted down, I got that girt undone.
Yeah.
I didn't put that back girt back on anymore either.
Yeah.
See, I just bought a brand new saddle and it had the two girts. So I thought you'd got to use it.
Mister, when did you first hear Billy Sunday?
Oh, let's see, it must have been around 1915, 1916, somewhere along in there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He was up there to Syracuse and had a big tent up there in what they called the Sawdust Trail.
Yes. And that Rodehaver?
Homer Rodehaver.
Rodehaver.
And he's up here to Palatka, or I think he's dead now, but he started that boy's ranch up there at Palatka.
Yeah.
That Homer Rodehaver.
Yeah. He had a lot of influence. Well, now, did that, did you hear him right smart, Billy Sunday?
Yeah.
What do you remember about it?
Oh, I don't remember too much about him there. I know he was quite enthusiastic about his preaching.
Yeah.
He'd go to like that. There's a fellow up to Nashville, Tennessee right now. I think his last name is Ford.
Yes.
He's quite a preacher.
Like Billy Sunday?
You hear him on the television?
I heard him once.
Yeah. But on the television, they don't sound the same as they...
Well, it isn't the same, no. But you know, up north, the preachers up there, a lot of them preach thou shalt not kill. Down here, there's a good many of the preachers down here that were some of the most ardent hunters.
Well, I didn't know that.
You didn't?
Around here?
Well, sure. What about Rutland and his boys?
What about them?
Why, they're right out hunting half of the time in the hunting season.
Yeah.
There was another fellow down there at Orange Lake, and a Baptist preacher down there. I can't think what his name was. He and I got in a heck of an argument down there in the Trade Winds one day.
Is that
over
right?
Preachers hunting.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gave me to understand it wasn't any of my business, and I said, well, I know it ain't. I was just reminding you of what the Bible said.
Uh-huh. Well, did he come back to that?
He was quite a big, husky fellow there. I can't think what the heck his name was. And he and Frank Williams got in a scrap down there. Sure, and he dared Frank out in the road, and they had a heck of a time.
No, I didn't know that, Miss Eastman.
Yeah. I can't think what his name was. He was down there. Gee, 8 or 9 years ago he was there.
Oh, that long? Well, now, Frank, what's called it? He's not a small fella.
Frank Williams, no.
Yeah.
No. No.
He's right athletic, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, it claimed that preacher used to be quite a wrestler when he was a young man.
Oh.
And he just thought, you know, that...
Yeah.
There was something about the church business that they got it going about. I don't know just what it was, but they really got it going over there.
Yes. I never have heard anyone talk about Billy Sunday. Just really talk about him, you know?
Well, I didn't know as much about him as I should have, but...
Well, you heard him. That's all
he
I
was,
meant.
He was quite a preacher there.
How did he act and look and all like that, Mr.?
Well, he acted and looked just a good deal like this Ford up here. He was right down and...
Yeah.
He'd get right down on his knees and beg him to come to the Sawdust Trail. And boy, they really went to Sawdust Trail, too.
Billy Sunday?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I never heard the figures on it. But I think that I heard say that Billy Sunday and Homer Rodehever there converted more people than all the rest of the evangelists at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, there was another fella. Of course, it was quite a while ago, you know. There was another preacher with him.
Mm-hmm.
When Homer wrote it, he was there. He had that song that he wrote, "The Brewer's Big Horses Can't Run Over Me."
Yeah.
Boy, that was a great song at the time of it there, but I don't know the words to that.
How was the tune?
Huh?
Remember the tune?
Not too well. Oh, I couldn't sing it anyway.
I never heard it, Mr. Huh? Eastman.
The Brewer's Big Horses Can't Run Over
Me. Yeah. I'll be right back. Wait just a minute.
Well, I remember that. I read what you wrote, you know, there. I remember Bright in the Corner.
Yeah.
Now this is the end of Channel 2 Right. This end of Channel 2 Right and a continuation of the talk after work on Saturday, the 17th of January, 1970. This is the end of Channel 2 Right. The end of Channel 2 Right and a continuation of the talk with Mr. Eastman, Faye, maybe Suzanne. After work on Saturday, the 17th of January 1970.